Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Tom time. Wow, what an extravaganza. I really don't know if I could have booked this show myself. Maybe I could. That's how good it is. But Dan has done it. We're taking a photo of our show sheet today and putting it on a plaque. It is that good.
Why don't you just take the show sheet and frame it?
Okay, I kind of like the plaque. I'm in the plaques. Maybe
it just sounds
Wild
weird to take a picture of a show sheet and then frame that or plaque that.
Okay, I thought it was a little bit more dramatic that way. But,
well, good morning to you, Dom.
Well, good morning, Dan. Since we couldn't go to the White House because of obvious encumbrances that we have, the White House is coming to us. Now, I've done a couple of these, I've done three, four, or five of these festivals in the tent at the White House, kind of a radio row. And we will hear from Kellyanne Conway. We'll hear from the Surgeon General. We're also going to hear from Peter Navarro. A lot of stuff with him. He's the bulldog on China. I'd say second to none in the Trump administration. And we'll also ask Kellyanne Conway a little bit later in the show about some of these comments that yesterday the national media did not ask one question, not one, with children being slaughtered in the big cities of America. They don't want to ask about that. They don't want to talk about that. Even Jim Kenney said yesterday, and Dan, if you find it, if you just make a cursory search, Kenney, I'm reading it, said it was not only, he said, yeah, too many guns on the street, as he always says. He says the police were stretched too thin because of their deployments around the protest. Oh, man, wait a minute. You can't say that. Let's review the things you can't say about the protest. You can never say that they are bordering on violence in many instances, that they're over the top, that they run onto highways and the like. That's all billed as peaceful. You cannot say that they're taking up an enormous amount of time for people trying to get around them. You cannot say that some of the chants and some of the things that we played you at the protest are out of line. And you can't say they're stretching the police thin. Oh, and you can't say the virus stands down with these protests. You can't say any of that. All right, to kick off the show today from the White House, we have the chief of staff to a great American. Let's go to Mark Short. He is the chief of staff to Vice President Pence. And Mark is with us in Philadelphia on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mark, thanks for starting the show off today. Good to talk with you.
Good morning, Dom. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, by happenstance, I happen to see that Vice President Pence is coming back to Pennsylvania. I think he ought to take up residence here. That's my plan to win this state. But I see one of the stops is critical, and it plays right out of the news. On Thursday, he's going to be addressing our friends at the FOP here in Philadelphia, and I think their spouses or something like that, Mark. What can you tell us about the vice president and why that's critical on Thursday when he comes to Pennsylvania?
Well, you're right, Dom. We'll be starting the day in Lancaster and then doing a couple events in the Philly area. But the culmination of the day will be addressing the Fraternal Order of Police and their spouses to just show support and unity for those on the thin blue line. I think that some of the messaging coming from the radical left of defunding the police is so abhorrent, and I think has reached a point that we need to make sure that public officials are willing to stand with those who are protecting our communities, and particularly in communities where there's been violence like there has been in Philadelphia. And so the vice president wanted to make sure he got to swing by and give his gratitude to the men and women in uniform, and as well as include the spouses in that event.
Well, on a busy day, I salute him for that, Mark, because very few figures in America other than the Trump administration, we can't name celebrities or others, it's Fox News and talk radio, that are still supportive of the police. And yet, when the media goes out there and does man in the street, you see people in minority communities who say they want more police. They don't want to defund the police. They get it.
You know, absolutely, Dom. We've been one of the parties of the vice president in the last few months where there has been racial discord has been to go to communities and meet with African-American leaders, and many of them that are business owners are the ones that have been most impacted because their business have been destroyed by the rioting and looting. And as you say, they're the ones that are most anxious to say, please help protect my business, please help protect my families and my communities. And so while the mainstream media often wants to paint this as a black-on-white issue, in reality, in many cases, it's the African-American community that is most invested in wanting to make sure that there is law and order in their communities and there is support for the police. And so we've also made that a priority of the vice president's trips, that as he travels, we've gone to local police departments on a routine basis to make sure that they know this administration stands with them and wants to express, again, our thankfulness and gratitude for what they do to put their lives on the line for us each and every day.
Absolutely. One of the other priorities, Mike Pence, the vice president, Mark Short with us as chief of staff, he's been the quarterback now. What can you tell us, reopening of America, coronavirus? Mike Pence has been involved in that second to none because everybody, he's the principal of principals there with this, even though he's not a public health official. He's had to take on that role, and I know he's a calming influence, a detailed guy, and those are things that you want in this. What can you tell us is going on right now?
Well, I think we feel far better prepared than the nation was several months ago to handle the coronavirus. When Mike Pence was tapped by the president to take control of the response on February 26th, at that point nationwide, we conducted less than 10,000 tests. But the president and the vice president's leadership bringing the private sector to the table, we're now conducting 600,000 tests a day. And while the mainstream media wants to paint this, the president's remarks that, of course, cases are going up when you test as much as you are, as a sort of a misplaced analysis, in fact, it's true. The reality is we continue to see positivity rates relatively low. And we continue to see a great expansion of testing capacity within community to be able to contain spread quickly. We also have vast amounts of new equipment, whether or not it's ventilators are produced by tens of thousands now, or equipment that we've sourced globally to make sure our hospitals are better prepared. And last week alone, the vice president went into hotspots in Dallas, Texas, into Phoenix, Arizona, as well as into Tampa, Florida, to meet with the governors of local communities and hospitals who tell us that we're far better prepared to handle any sort of influx of patients. In fact, in those hospitals where the media reports that the capacity is at 90%, in order to be profitable, those hospitals need to be 85 to 95% capacity. And of that, only about 20% are coronavirus patients. And so while we want to make sure we extinguish the virus as fast as we can, and we don't want to see rising cases in any community, the reality is our communities are far better prepared to handle the virus today than New York and New Jersey were when the initial outbreak struck on the East Coast after it had come to our shores in Seattle. And those communities clearly were not as well prepared. But now the nation is better prepared. There's far more equipment. And we also have far more developed therapeutics now. Doctors can treat this. And we don't need to go back to shutting down. The reality is that the vast majority of patients who are now coming in are people who are going back to work, and employers are mandating they get tested. In many cases, you're finding asymptomatic cases or people mm-hmm. in the 25 to 44-year-old right. age range who are better able to fight off the virus.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, thank you very much. Look forward to when you guys are in town on Thursday, hearing what the vice president has to say with the FOP. Thank you for starting the show today. And thanks to the vice president for his great work.
Dom, thanks for all you do. We appreciate it.
All right, Mark Short, Chief of Staff to the Vice President of the United States, kicking off the show. My fault, Dan. I'm sorry. Habit. Okay, I'll do it the next time. 855-839-1210, AT&T. Short was instrumental in purchasing the Reagan Ranch. I wish I had asked him about that, Dan, with the intention of using it for leadership seminars for college kids. Ah. All right. We have a lot of stuff going on. We're going to be talking a lot today with Kellyanne Conway, the murder raid in Philadelphia. Here is the here's Gordon Lightfoot. I'm sorry. It's not Gordon Lightfoot. It's Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago. Gordon Lightfoot would know about as much. He must have a song on murder rates and what to do about them, I would think. She echoes what several people in Philadelphia said yesterday, what de Blasio said in New York, the spiking murder rate. It couldn't be defund the police. It couldn't be DAs like Larry Krasner. It couldn't be people just thinking with the protest, et cetera, it's chaos, it's lawlessness, anything goes like in Atlanta. No, it's spiking because of COVID. Here's Mayor Lightfoot.
Compared to last year, shootings up 40%, homicides up more than 30%. Mm-hmm. So just point blank, what is happening right now?
All of these forces are coming together at the same time and making it very difficult. The ecosystem of public safety that isn't just law enforcement, but is local, community-based, and they too have really been hit hard by COVID and are now just kind of coming back online and getting their footing.
And what makes it almost doubly impactful in the worst way imaginable is many of these same communities that were being hit hardest by the coronavirus are also being hit hardest by gun violence. The way one family put it to me, of a three-year-old who died, we now have children carrying the caskets of children.
Yet the national media deigned yesterday. Kayleigh McEnany is right. And again, here's what she said yesterday during the news conference. And again, if they want to ask about some Trump tweet, if they want to just go down one line of questioning a bit, that's okay. I mean, they could ask the questions they want. They don't want to talk about this. And when they do, they're looking for any spin imaginable. Kenny got it said yesterday, though. Kenny said it's not only guns, it's deployment of police because of the protest. But all of the sacred protest, you know, if there's collateral damage here, virus, people being shot, well, that's what we have to do. The police department is stretched thin. The police department is in chaos here in Philadelphia. That's what's going on. And this is not going to abet at all. And yet the media and others don't want to connect the dots. Larry Krasner, what's his role in this? Big role. So here is McEnany yesterday at the end of the news conference saying, I didn't get one question about gun deaths nationwide, particularly in New York City.
Finally, I'd end with this. You know, I was asked probably 12 questions about the Confederate flag. This president's focused on action, and I'm a little dismayed that I didn't receive one question on the deaths that we got in this country this weekend. I didn't receive one question about New York City shootings doubling for the third straight week, and over the last 7 days, shootings skyrocket by 142%. Not one question. I didn't receive one question about five children who were killed, and I'll leave you with this remark by a dad. It broke my heart. A dad of an eight-year-old lost in Atlanta this weekend. They say Black Lives Matters. You killed a child. She didn't do nothing to nobody, was his quote. We need to be focused on securing our streets, making sure no lives are lost, because all Black lives matter. That of David Dorn and that of this eight-year-old girl. Thank you.
Now, Terry Crews was on with Don Lemon last night, and he said, yeah, he's asking questions like this. Why do they not rally around? You're not allowed to ask that question either. That's a deflection. You're not to. They don't have to.
Did you watch this clip in full yet, Dom?
I have not watched the clip in full yet.
Oh, man. Lemon is ridiculous in this clip. You won't even let the guy speak. It's terrible.
We'll play that one coming up, Dan, here. But this is the issue that's out there. They want to run away from it. They have no solutions. We're here in Philadelphia. Let's zone in on Philadelphia. And there are no solutions to it. This police commissioner is not going to do it when she's here. This mayor is not going to do it. And Larry Krasner is certainly not going to do it. So it will just continue, and they'll try to figure out a way to blame Trump, the NRA, or anybody else. All right, so phone lines are 855-839-1210. Dan, I didn't tell you about this. I had we had so much stuff you were booking. I didn't want to bother you. Change the side. Yeah, we'll have a side question of the day. We always have to have a side question. Come on. Because today's a big day. In 1928, on this day in history, Otto Rohwedder, who was a jeweler, unveiled his big invention. Yes, the bread slicing machine. Yep, sliced bread started on this day. They said it was the biggest thing in bread since bread came in a sack. All right? You know, came in a wrapper versus not in a wrapper. The bread slicing machine. So rather than doing great small inventions, I thought I'd ask, you know that expression, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. What is the greatest thing since sliced bread? I'll take a big one off the, you know, Mount Rushmore off the, I'll say the iPhone. You know, I'm taking the latest version of it, the ability to communicate, not have to worry, can I get to a payphone, God knows what, all the things that go into an iPhone. I'd say that is the greatest thing since sliced bread. What would you say, Dan?
Oh, that's a tough one. Maybe the television.
Television. Oh, man. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. And all the variants of the TV.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Since then, there was no TV then. That is an excellent one. All right, we'll see what Bill has to say a little bit later on. 855-839-1210, Dom Time 2020 calendar. Side question of the day. The bread slicing machine unveiled. Can you imagine? Oh, my God, can I get some sliced bread? And it was just like white bread, you know.
You think there was a sect of the population that was poo-pooing sliced bread when it first came out?
Yes. I started to do research, and I didn't get to. I was thinking the same thing. There's got to be a nugget there. This will never last. Who wants sliced bread? You know, the people that just said bread.
Sliced bread is the death of our nation.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. They didn't say that about TV early on. TV was different, but now we say it about TV. Social media, bigger than TV. Internet, bigger than TV. That's a good one. Which would I rather be at without, TV or the internet? Probably the internet at any moment.
Wait, the question's hard.
Yeah, that is.
So well, would I rather be without?
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't have one, what would it be?
It would definitely be TV because you can watch stuff on the internet.
Oh, well played. All right. 855-839-1210. Big show. In the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Kellyanne Conway, the Surgeon General, Peter Navarro. All right? So we'll take you right inside the White House today, where it's going. We got a lot of big questions, particularly with the Surgeon General. A lot of people hitting me on Twitter with questions for him. I'm going to drill down about school. What does he think about school? What does Kellyanne Conway think about going back to school? I'm adamant, you got to go back to school. We can't have this Zoom stuff. Not going to work. Got to go back to school. All right, you're with Dom on a big day here. 855-839-1210. That's all you have to do to get in here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, that's just to pump me up. Can I get any more pumped up? This is Dom Giordano program. Got to simmer down. Simmer, Dom. Big show today. The White House calling us, saying, do you have room for all these all-stars? And we're saying, I don't know. Kellyanne Conway, can we squeeze her in, Dan?
I'm honored to be on. He didn't tell me this was the Dom.
Who said that, Dan? I forget.
No idea. It's been in the system for years now.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, the word spreads. Dan working his magic behind the scenes up until 10:30 last night.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, that's a guess. You know, Dan, I'm going to be away one of these Saturday weekends. I was thinking of 1 hour of best of, and guess who? What we never played in a best of? Jack Stolzheimer. You will not believe the number of people that asked me, when can I hear the whole thing? I missed it. You
know, my name is Jack Stolzheimer, not Larry Krasner.
What I wouldn't give to have him in studio for a couple of hours. We'd make him a co-host. It'd be the show of the day, Dan. I've not seen a reaction locally. All right. The man of the day is DeSean Jackson. Look, DeSean Jackson, in the past, football teams are going to put up with you, even if there are problems. I'll leave it at that. I think that's why he was chosen in the second round, not the first. Then he comes to the Eagles, all kinds of problems. I don't like his style of play even a little bit, running backwards into the end zone, all that nonsense. But he's got a skill that you can't find in too many players, particularly speed in the 40. He frightens defenses. He makes everybody better. And that's why they had him last year. Now, he's 34 now, but the claim is that he hasn't lost that, pretty much. But what he has done in the middle of this underlines some of my resentment and maybe some of yours toward various athletes who want to attack America, use a football field as a platform, alleging all cops are bad, essentially, or great numbers. You know, the whole thing that we go through, right? This guy has wandered into the black Israelite situation. Now, at some point, I'll play you. Dan has grabbed it from the black Israelites who reign supreme here in Philadelphia. For years, I've talked about them. They confronted the that Native American guy and the Covington kids.
Nathan Phillips.
Yes, Nathan Phillips. They were the ones that precipitated a lot of that. The claim is, Dan, as bizarre as it is, they are the true Israelites, and that people are hiding the fact that the true Israelites are black, African-American, whatever they say, and so-called white Jews are not. They're imposters. So DeSean Jackson does it not only once, but a second time on Instagram. He's got 1.3 million followers. He gets into stuff that may have gone back to Hitler. I mean, there's all kind of speculation today, the origin, the various books. He puts stuff out along those lines, though. The big lies being told, you're not the Israelites, black people are. And if the country would learn this, one quote in here of something he posted, talking about the children of Israel, white Jews. They will extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they are. That's quotes that he's quoting from a book, DeSean Jackson, okay? So this, of course, has created a firestorm, particularly, you would think, in the times that we're in. Dan, I haven't seen anything in the last 30 seconds, but up until now, Philadelphia Eagles have not issued a statement or done anything. And my resentment, again, is guys like this being engaged in this, and to be lectured to, although not as serious, certainly, than this anti-Semitic stuff, to be lectured to by people like LeBron James when the China thing came up. That's where my resentment comes in. The hypocrisy of all this stuff. So what will the Eagles do? Are they assessing, does this guy still have that kind of value? A lot of football experts say he does. How do we position this then? As far as what he did here, how do you position that? Here's a little bit of the black Israelites in Washington. Now, again, here in Philadelphia, in my view, according to news accounts, I've seen it too, they essentially harass people. They used to be in front of the shops at Liberty Place. There's a real nice skincare place on one side of the building. When you come in there, you have to go through a gauntlet. A goofy judge in Philadelphia said they have a First Amendment right to be there on a bullhorn or loudspeaker saying all kinds of things. Particularly, they say things attacking people along the lines of homophobia.
Most recently, Dom, they were in the Christmas Village at Love Park.
Ah, and what were they doing there?
They were right outside in between Love Park and the old Macy's.
Okay.
Or no, it's still a Macy's there, right?
And yeah. Look, yeah, and I believe in the First Amendment, all that. I just think if this were some bizarro group that were whites saying racist things and threats and all that, the police would shut it down, that you can't harass people like that. That's, in my view, what I've seen them and what the court cases have been about this group. And that's who DeSean Jackson wants to hold up to his followers and these bizarre quotes. He also apparently saw Farrakhan over the weekend for the first time. He talked about the power of the man. He talked about the vaccine stuff. You know how toxic this is? Now, shouldn't the Eagles, Dan, have been able to come to a decision to say either A, DeSean Jackson is going to be suspended for a while, he's taking training so that he understands these things are out of line, or we've released DeSean Jackson, right? Shouldn't take forever. They knew about this yesterday. Is that so overwhelming to make a decision? Or do they support, well, he has a right to his first, he has First Amendment rights, which he does, of course.
Well, let's be honest here. The Eagles are in a, they're backed into a horribly optic corner right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it, what seems obvious to both me and you is not what the culture is calling for.
That's
so they
right.
have to weigh the two sides, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, Joe Banner, former president, who apparently, according to news accounts, had a falling out with, I guess, a lifelong friend, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the team. Joe Banner at NJ.com and I think on Twitter is just roiling how anti-Semitic all this is and how clear this whole thing is. Ex-Eagles president calls out DeSean Jackson over social media posts with anti-Semitic quotes. He said his roster spot should be in jeopardy with quotes attributed to Farrakhan and Adolf Hitler. Posted multiple Instagram stories on Sunday quoting Farrakhan, who delivered a three-hour 4th of July speech on YouTube and also on Fox Soul, apparently. One of the posts contained a quote that Farrakhan attributed to Hitler. In what universe, you know, should Joe Biden be asked about stuff like this? Farrakhan out there again. Should Roger Goodell be asked about stuff like this? Given the social justice warrior stuff that goes on with the NFL. The other thing I would ask is this way, and I've made this point before, and people in Philadelphia that are the movers and shakers, Dan, don't like this. I just would like to know Rodney Mohammed, who is the head of the NAACP, et cetera, is he still a Louis Farrakhan guy? Now, he's equivalent, I think, to the guy who's the Attorney General Ellison, who was a big Farrakhan guy. I think he's renounced it. I'm not sure. But I'd like to know, is he or isn't he?
What's the name?
Rodney Mohammed. I think his mosque is still under the Nation of Islam. If it's not, then okay, just say no. That's my past. I see Farrakhan is wrong. Just be clear on these things. That's all. I don't think that Farrakhan, you can be a Farrakhan supporter and be in any kind of mainstream position at all. That ought to be a given, right? The number one thing that I would say about Farrakhan is not just the anti-Semitism, it's just how bizarre and crazy the whole thing is, conspiratorial and dangerous with vaccines, etc. I'm here on Talk Radio 1210. Huge day. We're going to the White House, but of course, we're working in everything else. And it just occurred to me, I hope we're not saying someday that the driverless car is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yeah, sliced bread if you're chopping up your hand and doing it. Come on. We're going to say that about the driverless car someday, Dan?
I don't know. We did anger a lot of callers, though, Dom. People calling in to correct me saying that TV is indeed older than sliced bread.
It's a little hard to believe. We may have to go for a ruling before the committee on that.
We did some research. We looked it up.
Okay.
And 1927 was the invention of TV. 1928, bread. Sliced bread.
I think Joe Sebelia would know that. All right, let's go to the callers. Let me go to Steve in Northeast Philadelphia. Steve, you're on Talk Radio 1210. And so that listeners know, you have been my guru on the Black Israelites for like 25 years, I think.
And your Farrakhan guru, thanks for having me.
Yes.
I guess I've heard about 30 Farrakhan speeches, including 13 in person. And Saturday's was among the most vile. I watched all 2 hours and 53 minutes of it. He had some anti-Christian, anti-Catholic things to say, as well as anti-Jewish and anti-vaccine.
What's he have against the Catholics? Wait a minute. What's the problem that Louis has with Catholics?
Well, he was complaining, and I'm paraphrasing now, that when Catholics step into the confessional to confess, they're confessing to people who are full of sin, but I'm paraphrasing. But it was along those lines.
Yeah, there we go. That's,
and he was all over the Black Jesus stuff as well. But the fact that an NFL player doesn't, not just an NFL player, anybody who doesn't really understand the hatred that's going on here and the manipulation that he's pulling, and would praise Farrakhan and be a fan of his, and then the stuff that's not really from Hitler but Hitler-esque that he also posted, Jackson, that is deeply, deeply troubling today. And I hope the Eagles will set a good example and say this is intolerable because it's hatred. It's promoting hatred.
Yeah. Should they cut him then? I'm not on board with cutting him yet because...
I think he should be suspended. I wouldn't cut him. I think he should be suspended.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I just say it because doesn't this take a little steam out? You know, I could catalog, Steve, and you probably could too, any number of these pro athletes who we're going to have to listen to, like LeBron James and others, and then the China stuff, this type. Now, this is in another league, of course. But these are not our moral betters. I'm tired of hearing that from pro athletes and pro teams.
They're not our moral betters, but they've got, in some cases, millions of followers in social media, so they're highly influential. So what they say and who they choose to idolize matters and has impact. And if this is okay, deemed okay, then you know, what are the boundaries? Is anything go? Can you, you know, start calling for the murder of people? Because Farrakhan, by the way, I don't know if you heard, he attacked your friend Alan Dershowitz, called him satanic Saturday. I mean, he went on quite a diatribe about Dershowitz.
It's amazing. Now, do
something
you know,
for everybody.
Do you know if Rodney Mohammed is still an adherent, Steve, or
he
is that up
if you
in
go
the air?
To, if you go to his, no, if you go to his Facebook page, he was promoting Saturday's speech. Of course, now he'll take it down, but it's there. And
hey, Dan, would you screenshot that for us, Rodney Mohammed's Facebook page? And
sure.
Steve, the reason I asked that, look, it's one thing, Farrakhan
get
being
the right
out
one.
There.
There's three
okay.
Rodney Mohammed Facebook pages. You want to?
Okay, get all three.
The Savior's Day. He was at the Savior's Day speech. Was it earlier this year or last year? I can't remember now.
I think it was last year. Yeah, and my point, Steve, is here's a guy who sits on committees to determine the new police commissioner. That determines what goes on in Philadelphia as a head of the NAACP and as a mainstream figure. DeSean Jackson has influence, but I think it's a rule that anybody that is an adherent of Louis Farrakhan in our society, particularly where we are today, is out of the mainstream, cannot be a figure of any post in the community. Everybody should be able to agree to that. And you know why I'm going down this path. I just want the left to have to be consistent here and the media for once to have some curiosity. This is not in Philly.com. I didn't see it all morning long. Someone told me about it. Philly Voice, I think, broke it, or Crossing Broad. Philly.com still seems a little bit disinterested in all this.
I couldn't agree with you more. First of all, somebody who is a supporter and disciple of Farrakhan should not be involved in human relations work. He's supporting someone who is the antithesis of that. Nobody could be more divisive than Louis Farrakhan.
It's almost impossible.
It's really a sham. But I thank you for holding it up to the light
well,
so
Steve,
people can see.
Well, Steve, thank you for all your help. Yeah. Steve, what is the best thing since sliced bread?
I've always been fascinated by the fax machine that I could be holding a piece of paper
yes!
and send it to somebody else, you know, around the world, and they're, you know, in an instant holding the same piece of paper with the same thing on it.
It is amazing.
Been fascinating to me, yeah.
I like that one. Dan, you're probably thinking, oh, that's a horse and buggy, the fax machine.
I'm rolling my eyes. Like, how is that the best invention since sliced bread?
But it is amazing.
It's already antiquated, though. I mean.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, you put a piece of paper in and somebody else is getting a piece of paper.
Hey, Dom, the 8-track video player is the best thing since sliced bread.
I'm not going down that path. That was Steve's answer.
New Coke is the best thing since sliced bread.
I said the iPhone. Now, Anthony Giordano is sitting in with us. Anthony Giordano. That's the other guy. Anthony DiRenzo, David DiRenzo's son.
Yes.
Already. Well, that's the joke cue. Has Joe trademarked that vortex? We have it for Bill. We're going to try it out with you.
The DiRenzo vortex.
Shot. Yeah, we may have met. I think we waved one of your father's things, Anthony. So
we waved at each other once.
Yeah, we waved at each other once. Tell me, sitting in here with a genius like Dan, you must be overwhelmed, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm learning so much.
Just, oh, God, yes. I love the way you said that.
The sarcasm is seething from the
It's dripping through. So what would you say the greatest thing since sliced bread?
I thought about this for a little bit, but I came to it pretty quickly. I think the GPS is one of the greatest inventions ever, if not just since the sliced bread.
That is very good.
Why aren't you a GPS denier, Dom?
Well, I have Roe do it, so that's okay. Yes. I know where I'm going.
Like, every time we have to go somewhere, I have to give you, like, physical directions, like on MapQuest via 2001.
Yeah, he still prints out the directions?
No, I don't print them out.
Oh, yes,
just look
you
at
do.
Them once, I know where I'm going. Like the back of my hand.
GPS All right. is a great invention, though, it is.
It is. That's a very good one. Thanks, Anthony. Thanks for helping us out here today, too. All right, big day here with Dom. Headed back to the White House. Big 10 o'clock hour, too. Great guest. Talking about the reopening of America as it continues, about serving all communities with a lot of outreach due to the virus, of course, the virus. Next up, we have Devin O'Malley. Devin is the press secretary to Vice President Pence, joins us from the White House on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Devin, welcome to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Dom, thanks for having me. I feel like the team here is torturing me. This is the second Philly area radio that I've done, and as a Patriots fan, it's a bit of torture for me, but I'm really glad that you have me.
Well, Devin, you know, we have a particular bent here. I don't fully rub it in with the Eagles. I don't care about that. I only care about Nick the Great. That's the only thing that matters. Because we had him for a big event here, and he couldn't have been – he's like out of another world. You wouldn't believe it. Some might say he's better than Tom Brady in certain circumstances.
Hey, I might even jump on that bandwagon right now.
Yeah, he definitely. I would take him now. So, Devin, the vice president is coming to Pennsylvania, as certainly we know, huge swing state, on Thursday. And I'm glad that you guys put on the final note, his final stop will be with the FOP here and law enforcement. And even though, you know, the Jim Acostas of the world and the others, when they have a chance with the vice president or president, they just think America's changed and now hates the police. Defund the police and all this is backfiring across America, both in the streets and I think in the minds of Americans.
Yeah, so the vice president will be in eastern Pennsylvania on Thursday. We're going to do a bus tour that goes from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and then ends in Philadelphia. Before we get to Philly, though, the vice president is stopping at a company in Malvern, Pennsylvania, called Ragent Corporation. This is a company that you know, makes equipment for private wireless networks. And one of the reasons that we're stopping there is that they were, you know, a huge part of what we call the whole of America response to the coronavirus. And when the virus hit, they stepped up and started making their equipment and their networks available to pop up field hospitals, to testing sites, and to even loan application facilities. And so we're going to highlight their work, and we're going to highlight the work of many manufacturers across the country that are starting to get back to work. This is a company that received a PPP loan and even expanded hiring 10 new workers. And so the vice president is really excited to get there. And as you mentioned, we are stopping at the local Fraternal Order of Police Lodge in Philadelphia. And I think what you've seen over the course of the past month in Washington is a conversation that I think should you know, be a topic of conversation at every kitchen table across the country. And it's this notion that we should be defunding the police. And the administration and Senator Tim Scott were supportive of a bill to reform police in the wake of the tragic death of George Floyd. And that, you know, introduced a lot of accountability measures, a lot of things that what people are looking for, right, as we, you know, we kind of have this conversation about what American policing looks for, you know, what we look towards for American policing. But the notion that we should be defunding police is a scary one. And frankly, I think the vice president wants to get to the FOP lodge so we can make sure that that the Philadelphia law enforcement knows that we back the blue, that this is an administration that supports the rule of law. And, you know, this is actually, you know, it's an important city to do this in because this conversation has happened before in Philadelphia, as you know, with the sanctuary city debate and abolishing ICE. So this isn't the first time that the left has tried this.
Right. And you, as someone who is the communications director for a vice president, is not going to let them off the hook when they try. They like the word defund because it gets the juices flowing with their radical base. And then they want to say they don't mean defund. They do mean defund. They want the word. And that's ultimately what they want to do.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that, you know, everyone went out of their way bending over backwards to say, well, we don't really mean defund the police. And then I saw an op-ed in the New York Times from somebody on the left who said, no, we actually do mean defund the police. And this was a week or two after Tom Cotton wrote what was a pretty controversial op-ed that many employees at the New York Times said put their safety on the line. But, you know, it's truly remarkable that they don't see the irony in somebody writing a headline that says, no, we do mean defund the police, but that doesn't put New York Times employees' safety at jeopardy.
Well played. Enjoy Pennsylvania when you come to visit us. Devin, thank you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. There's a good guy, Dan, because he went with Nick the Great. There you go. As long as anybody says that, everything is okay.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.